Dende yindi dabachi gu tela nyomum pang yindi dabachi gu sa ru yare den ta tenzing ge da tenzing nyomum pang du zane dabachi gu yong ya mare ta ada dabachi ma de nyomum pang be ta jum ge le ne dabachi yong re
The afflicted desires are such that when you overcome the conception of inherent existence, when you overcome ignorance, they also disappear. Whereas with the second type of desire, such as the desire for enlightenment, when one overcomes ignorance, these do not disappear. Then the third is the refuge in the supreme community. Master, please heed me. I, called by such and such a name, from this time henceforth until arriving in the essence of enlightenments, go for refuge to the irreversible spiritual community of Bodhisattva superiors, the supreme of communities. So again, as before, crouch down if it's convenient.
This is some of my friends too fat, so I feel must very difficult to remain like this. Oh, yeah, that. Logan Consulson.
Logan
Consulson. I mean,
this is
Chunam Jicho,
The next is an accumulation of merit by way of the sevenfold service. Put the palms of your hands together and think on the meaning of the sevenfold service as said before.
Chenye
ཁྱི ཕྱད མི ཚོགས ཁྱི ཕྱད མི ཚོགས
ཁྱི ཕྱི ཕྱི
First,
next is the actual generation of the altruistic intention to become enlightened itself. First of all, one should do the meditative imagination that I spoke about yesterday.
Now you see, imagination, and those all sentient beings around you, I mean, yourself. Now you see, think about their condition. You see, nobody wants, unhappiness or suffering. But you see, due to one's own misdeeds, you see, the suffering is something like, because endlessly, you see, coming or happening. And you see, everyone wants happiness, but you see, due to lack of one's own, a positive karma, positive action, so you see, very few, in the deeper sense, very few happiness, satisfactory happiness, you see, rarely happen. Now you see, thinking this line, you see, then generate the genuine altruism, this is some sort of very much concern about others' welfare. Now, thinking this line, then now you see, in order to help these people, first oneself should be enlightened. If we have, you see, or say oneself equipped with better wisdom, with better motivation, better energy, then we can help other people more, you see, more, how to say, more effectively. So therefore, in order to achieve, in order to help, you see, other people, other sentient being, oneself, should achieve Buddhahood, enlightened one. Now this kind of, you see, motivation, now generate. Now, as I mentioned earlier, for those people who do not want to take the second type, then merely, you see, generate this kind of motivation, stop. That is complete. Then those people who could, you see, keep the, as I mentioned earlier, the 8 points. And also now those being who are, you see, going to take initiation. Now, these people must now, determined that now this kind of motivation in future, even you see something connected with my own life, I never give up on this kind of, you see, determination, on this kind of determined altruism, altruistic determination. You see, this now must generate this moment. That is 6D 20. ま、超常なの修備さんで、そのまた達到の根素数、論文根素数、演算素数、民で、民に。教案で、教案者で、選択と、人別人で、出人人で、官別人で、計算は大義、基盤で、基礎、座は基盤で、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、基礎、 Simjian Tamje, Yonsu Nyangel and Mandeva, Simjian Yonsu Nyangel and Mandeva, Yonsu Nyangel and Dower, Kigins, Tatish Tadate.
What one is saying is, may all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas residing in the ten directions please heed me. Master, please heed me. Just as the earlier ones gone thus, foe destroyers, completely perfect Buddhas, and the great Bodhisattvas residing on the great stages generated a mind of altruistic intention toward enlightenment, so I, called by such and such a name, through roots of virtue having a nature of giving, having a nature of ethics, and having a nature of meditation, done by myself, which I have caused others to do, or which I admired when done by others, in this birth and in all other births, I will, from this time henceforth, until arriving in the essence of enlightenments, generate a mind of altruistic intention toward the unsurpassed, complete, perfect, great enlightenment. And then having generated that attitude, I will liberate those not liberated from the obstructions to omniscience. I will release those not released from the afflictive obstructions to liberation from cyclic existence. I will relieve those unrelieved caught in bad transmigrations. And in brief, I will set all beings in nirvana. And then reflecting on this meaning, again as before, assume the crouch position if comfortable, appropriate.
Chosunamna
徒弟人在吧,弟子人都。大名的学习为,徒弟人在吧,弟子人都。
조조남나쇼베
That's the second repetition.
Little Shada,
one holds a substance involved in the rite in one's hand. If one has a rosary, for instance, one can put it in one's hand.
Oh, this is some ring.
Or a ring.
You see, that something that the Yinju da tiri, nge zhe dik tuane, in sim gigi yin sa chi, mungi shinju sabo mungu chi rangi, ta sim gibe kudu liya, zhe dindegi, ta chi offering shia soro, dindegi zhe jik tuane, in sim gibe lu gyuyare.
There are stories of how bodhisattvas in the past generated such an intention with an offering in their hands, and one is acting like that.
Sa dindegi yinju sa ne, nga ranzo te, ta su su zhe jik ki, eni zhe dik tuane,
So then when one does this right, holding this in one's hand, generating this attitude, then when one and one keeps the article, then later when you see it, you are reminded of it. And then at the end of this third repetition, when my voice diminishes at the end, imagine that or think that you have generated the altruistic intention to become enlightened in your continuum at that point.
Oh yeah.
And for those who can, you should think that those who wish to should think at that point that one is one should think with great resolve and determination that one is not going to give up this altruistic attitude ever.
Now, now sit very comfortably now. Whenever I give this, you see, sermon or teaching, I myself, how to say, develop a certain better motivation. So very, to myself also, very useful. So, thank you very much, you see, those people give me, you see, another chance, another opportunity. So really, you see, without you, I can't, you see, develop that kind of, you see, meditation or, how to say, determination. So actually, credit goes you. As I mentioned earlier, you see, our basic nature is so much interdependent. You see, every good motivation or every virtuous, you see, act, actually, you see, come due to other. So you see, without other being, there's no use possibility to achieve certain, certain, how to say, virtues like that. Tadigi, anisim jiva. Tadigi mingla, mersin tamshashin suwa asehare.
That is called taking the aspirational intention to become enlightened along with a promise. Then one needs to ascertain what the activities of bodhisattvas
are.
When you say that you're going to relieve those who are not relieved, when you liberate those not liberated, release those not released, and relieve those who are not relieved, one has to understand how to do this. Thus, for this, one needs to understand the four means of gathering students. These are means for maturing other beings' mental continuums. The first is to gather other people by making material gifts to them. And then to speak in pleasant ways. And And to teaching others what to adopt and practice and what to discard. And then oneself to practice just as one has one is teaching others. These are called the four means of gathering students. And then since one oneself has to increase one's own good qualities, one needs to understand the six perfections. Giving, ethics, patience, effort, concentration, and wisdom.
That which overcomes
the obstructions to omniscience, along with any possibility of the ever occurring, is wisdom. Since you need powerful wisdom in order to act as an actual antidote to these obstructions, you need the meditative stabilization, which is a union of a calm abiding of the mind and special insight. In order to develop a wisdom consciousness, a very powerful non-conceptual wisdom consciousness, in the face of which all dualistic appearances vanished, the dualistic appearance of conceptual images, the dualistic appearance of conventionalities, the dualistic appearance of subject and object, the dualistic appearance of inherent existence, in order to develop a wisdom consciousness in the face of which all of these dualistic appearances have vanished, it's necessary to have powerful meditative stabilization. Thus, concentration is also necessary. Thus, one needs special insight. And in general, with regard to special insight, there's special insight that is involved with the various varieties of phenomena, and special insight that realizes the mode of subsistence, the mode of being of phenomena. What one needs is the latter. For that, one needs to realize the view of emptiness. What is the reason why one needs a wisdom consciousness realizing emptiness? The reason is that that which brings us into all of this ruination is a consciousness misconceiving that persons and phenomena exist from their own side or inherently exist. In order to overcome that, it's not sufficient that one just remain in a neutral mind, not engaged in such misconception. Rather, it's necessary to generate a consciousness that understands the opposite of what that ignorant consciousness is conceiving, a wisdom consciousness that realizes the absence of inherent existence.
Don't think about this. Lavina Shenanda and Latumdua. Rakudu did the sound of the Madang in the Madang and Chane, Taco, Matembacheni, Shenan Mavis Jemado, Zashan and Latumara. The go there, check, look, find no tiger. Ra, that de convinced you do any tiger yours and be Shenan Zaw and Latua. That didn't shut your.
For instance, if one thought there was a tiger behind one, and somebody else told you, well, just don't think about it. That wouldn't relieve you of the fear of the tiger. Even if for a moment you didn't think about it, it would just be for that moment the thought would come back that the tiger was there and you'd still be afraid. Rather than that, if you go back there and look and see that there isn't any tiger there, then through that you can overcome the fear. It's similar. That's the reason why one needs the wisdom consciousness realizing selflessness, emptiness. When one ascertains this selflessness, this absence of inherent existence, one does not have a sense that, well, maybe there might be something else there. Rather, one ascertains a mere absence of inherent existence, a mere elimination of the object of negation, a mere absence of the existence of the object from its own side. And one remains with the mind just on that absence.
Da? Mm.
Due to there being many different levels of coarseness and subtlety within the object of negation, of which it is absent, that which is absent. There come to be many different levels, coarse and subtle, of the means for realizing, for ascertaining selflessness, emptiness. For instance, there is a case of a type of conceiving of oneself, which in addition to the innate or habitual sense of oneself as inherently existent, also conceives oneself to be permanent, unitary, and independent. Thus, in addition to the habitual sense, one has an additional, even stronger sense of a grosser type of self. So thus, there's one mode of establishing selflessness, which is the proof that the self or the I is not permanent, unitary, and independent. Now, even if the person oneself is not permanent, unitary, and independent, one might have the sense that oneself is self-established, substantially existent. In other words, one will be conceiving of oneself as the self-established user of objects of use. For instance, my watch, my friend, etc. So thus there's a mode of ascertaining selflessness which is on the level of understanding that the person, oneself, is not substantially existent in the sense of being self-established. There is an innate misconception of this, thus realizing this type of selflessness has a certain amount of help benefit in it.
Now you see, for example, you could see our daily life. Now you see some article before we bought from shop. The article is the same. Then after you see bought, still the same quality. Yet, you see, due to in the later stage, you see, this is mine. Now you see, more sort of, you see, attraction or more, how to say, some, you see,
more attraction, more attachment.
So you see, in that case, now you see, the, how to say, the, this kind of selflessness nature, you see, understanding of that, it will, you see, help to reduce that kind of, you see, strong feeling. Now furthermore, now the article itself,
Now, most of our desire and hatred is generated toward outside objects. And in the mind only, or chitta-matra system, it is said, therefore, that these objects which seem to be external objects are not actually external objects, but are of the same entity as an internal consciousness. When one realizes this, it helps to reduce that desire and hatred, right? Then, in the Madhyamaka school, and particularly in the Prasangika Madhyamaka school, it is said that these objects are indeed external objects, but they are only nominally existent. They're just name only. They only exist conventionally. They do not exist from their own side.
No matter what the
No matter what the phenomenon is, if it exists in its own right, if it exists from its own side, if it exists there from the side of the object itself, then it is not something that depends upon the subject, the viewing consciousness. If it did exist independently, then when one sought it under analysis, it should become clearer and clearer and clearer once one should find something more and more solid. However, that is not the case. When one searches, one doesn't find such. The fact that when one searches for an object analytically, one does not find it, does not mean that the object is non-existent. For if one claimed that, therefore, it were non-existent, that would be refuted, damaged by conventional valid cognition. This means it would be damaged, that position would be damaged by our own ordinary experience. These objects do indeed exist, but once they don't exist in their own right, once they don't exist in their own right, they exist through the force of a conventional valid consciousness. They exist only imputedly, designatedly. They exist only nominally. Therefore, it is said that objects are only nominally existent, they're only imputedly existent, designatedly existent. When it is said that objects are name only, this doesn't mean that there are no other objects except names. Rather, it means that objects do not exist from their own side, that they exist through the force of a conventional consciousness. Once objects exist, then since they exist only through the force of a conventional consciousness, they don't exist through their own power. Thus it is said that objects don't exist from their own side, objects do not inherently exist. When one is not satisfied with the mere superficial appearance of objects but searches for their mode of being, one finds this emptiness or this absence of inherent existence. This emptiness then is the final mode of subsistence of objects.
Tanya
Having understood that objects do not exist from their own side, having understood this emptiness, then afterwards, when objects appear, even though they appear to exist, they seem to exist from their own side, this being due to one's mind being polluted by the effects of ignorance. Even though they appear to exist from their own side, one understands that they do not exist from their own side. Thus, one is capable then of ascertaining, understanding that objects are like illusions, appearing one way, appearing to inherently exist, but not existing that way, lacking inherent existence.
Yeah.
Thus, within this understanding of phenomena as being illusory-like, you have to be able to posit the cause and effect of actions, good and bad and so forth, without harming those presentations. So then there's the rest of the remaining part on the third principal aspect of the path. Whoever, seeing the cause and effect of all phenomena of cyclic existence and nirvana as infallible, thoroughly destroys So then what the text is saying is that within ascertainment that the cause and effect of all of phenomena of cyclic existence and nirvana, that cause and effect is non-deceptive, infallible, ineluctable. Within that understanding, one also understands that the target of an ignorant consciousness conceiving objects to inherently exist, that inherent existence does not exist in any way at all. One understands emptiness. Within such a compatibility of understanding the cause and effect of phenomena and their emptiness of inherent existence, if one has such an understanding, then one has entered on a path that is pleasing to Buddha.
That is next. Now attend the lower mebatangs.
Then the next stanza indicates that as long as one's understanding of appearance and one's understanding of emptiness are incompatible, one does not have the thought of Shakyamuni Buddha. This means that if it is the case that when one reflects on dependent arising, cause and effect and so forth, one cannot understand the emptiness of inherent existence, that this harms one's understanding of inherent existence, or that when one understands something about the emptiness of inherent existence, this seems to harm one's understanding of dependent arising, cause and effect, and so forth. As long as these two appear to be contradictory, the one understanding harming the other understanding, then one does not have the thought of Shakyamuni Buddha.
Oh, that's the end.